guys. It's Nikki.
And it's Kaylin.
That's right, you guys. You heard another name. No Stacy, no Heather. I have Kaylin with me today. I'm so excited to have her here. She's near and dear to me. Stacy and Heather both had some emergencies go on. You know me, Green Ranger that I am, pulled through, found another another resource, and I'm so excited to have her here covering this case. I know she's nervous as can be, but, you know, she'll work her way
through it. That was not nice to say. Thank you very much.
You know, you got to get the bugs out. Shake it off. The good thing is nobody can see us.
I wouldn't do it if people could see me.
I know. That's what Heather and Stacy say, too. They're like, no, we're not ready for video. I'm like, oh, you pansies.
I wouldn't do it.
No.
You wouldn't do it either. Let's
be honest. I probably wouldn't. No, I probably wouldn't. So today it's just going to be her and I, and we're going to jump into our case, and we're going to let Kaylin read our disclaimer today, and we'll see if she's anything like Heather.
I hope not.
I mean, either, because Heather messes it up every time. That's why. That's why I said that.
Dang, all right.
So, you know, if you mess it up, you're already one of them, so you're good to go.
All right. So. Quick disclaimer. We are not experts nor detectives. All information provided in today's episode is public knowledge and personal opinions. There are no reflection of Loco Networks or any affiliated sponsor. We talk murder and have foul mouths, so listener discretion is highly advised.
Whoop, whoop. Heather, watch out. She's coming for your job.
Highly advised?
Highly.
Oh.
Well, you know, it's your Aunt Heather, so.
Have you seen children these days?
I mean, she don't have a filter. So, you know, we got to put that in there because
I could agree with that.
F-bombs get dropped frequently around here. So today we're gonna talk about something that I feel like really just didn't have to end the way that it did. It just, after going over everything, it really just makes you feel like the way it all played out and even the ending to it was just, it didn't have to be this way. So we're gonna go to Lincoln County, Missouri.
That's right outside Warrenton.
Yeah, so it's like Warrenton into the Troy area. So like it's past Warrenton, but into like Troy. I think it's also close to like Pike County.
They can't see me nodding my head, but I know.
Oh, I'm just. We have an infamous thing where I said something and I air quoted, and your Stacy was like, "Did you guys see those air quotes?" And I was like, "Oh shit, I forgot. I'm sorry, guys. I air quoted." So yes, no, people cannot see us, but I definitely indicate that they can. So I do air quotes and head nods quite frequently. But so we're going to be in Lincoln County today, and normally I don't say this soon, but I'm going to go ahead and rip the Band-Aid off and say this is where it gets hard to hear. Stacy and Heather always laugh at me, and they're like, oh gosh, here we go. But I got to warn people. So August 9th, 2002, a 911 call came in of a woman lying in a pool of blood in a commuter parking lot. Naturally, upon arrival, it appears as to what would look like a possible carjacking or a robbery gone wrong. When the police arrived, they found 56-year-old Ruth Ann Madden, formerly Ruth Ann Scott, which Kaylin corrected me.
It sounded weird. Okay, don't judge me.
She's all proper.
I feel insulted.
She was found next to her still running car, lying face up in a pool of blood from a gunshot.
Oh.
A gunshot wound to her head. So, like we said, naturally, it just kind of seems like, you know, like a robbery.
But most, like, did they take anything? Like, we don't have that information yet.
Right. So upon further searching, though, the police saw that there was a sign of struggle. Her purse was still in the car. So all of that definitely throws, like, a red flag of a, like.
Just a bit, you know?
Yeah. I mean, because robbery, they would have probably. But I don't know. It makes you think, like, during the scuffle, did they get scared? Or, you know, after they shot her, did they get scared and run off before robbing her?
That would be dumb.
It would. Then it's just like, what was the point of what you just did? But based on some of the other cases we've covered, other than the Bobby Joe case, I really feel like the police did a great job of actually policing and following the steps instead of just calling it a robbery gone wrong. They definitely noticed the red flags and they didn't ignore them. They treated it as a homicide, which, I mean, ultimately it clearly was once everything is said and done. They had discovered that Ruth Ann had human hair clenched in her hand, which they did collect for DNA. Again, policing done correctly. A lot of the cases we have covered previously, it's like we're always asking, like, well, why the hell didn't the police, or what did they do, or why didn't we? And it's like, instead of just closing the case, they actually policed like they were supposed to. But they also found a soda bottle, a Durell brand cigarette butt, also found on the scene.
That's a pretty weird combination. Not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Don't judge me.
So, soda bottle, cigarette butt, and hair. So naturally, they got quite a bit of DNA. They just now have to narrow it down to who the hell it belongs to. The break for this case, though, was there was a witness statement of a couple who said that they saw a white Chevrolet Lumina sedan with tinted windows come speeding out of a parking lot. So, again, the cops doing actual policing, they put a bolo out for the car. So they actually listened to what these people said, and being that they're giving them an exact car, which these people knew the car, the make, the color.
Right.
Like, so that's kudos to those people, because most people don't even pay attention to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes, but not.
Well, I mean, I guess if, like, they speed out and they almost hit you, but I don't think I'd be able to, like, tell you what kind of car. I'd be like, it was white, and that's about, like, yeah. But I will say, I used to all the time just, like, remember license plate numbers, but then I realized when I would get where I was going, because I'd be like, ooh, I wonder if I can remember that license plate number. I never remember, so don't count on me.
Okay. Well, thank you for that.
I mean, if I got a pen, I'll write it on my hand.
Oh, but if you don't have a pen, I'm just getting kidnapped?
Hopefully our destination ain't far.
Oh, okay.
If we get there quick, I can remember it.
Oh, awesome. Thank you.
So, you know, hey. But we're going to go to Miss Ruth Ann, and she was born December 17th, 1945.
That's old. I'm sorry, but that was old.
Oh, I love you.
That was a long time ago.
It was a long time ago. December 17th, 1945, to parents Jesse and Joanna Scott. I did a little digging. You know, put my detective hat on, and I got on the interweb, and I Googled some stuff.
Oh.
I used my big brain.
You have one?
Ha, ha, ha. I did a little digging, and naturally with this kind of stuff, I got down the rabbit hole, and the family is very, very large at this day and age. It's a big one, but to get back on track, to Ruth Ann in her earlier years, I'm just going to kind of go over that versus all the siblings and everything that she now has later, and keep it kind of narrowed down to her time frame of life. Ruth Ann's early years, we'll touch on a few things that I felt were mentionable. She had a brother named Ernie, who was born in 1952. He went on to serve in the Army during the Vietnam. I know, right?
Yeah.
She also had a sister, Anne, born in 1954. Her father, Jesse, was a member of the U.S. Army as well. He was a member of the 39th Field Artillery and the 87th Mountain Infantry. Basically, he served during World War II. Until he was honorably discharged with the rank of staff sergeant in December of 1945.
Dang, he fancy.
Yeah, yeah. So he He was doing his thing out there.
Yeah, he got promoted.
It was a hard time, though, for the Army. And, you know, we were in World War. Like, that's a big one. Yeah, he was going through it, but he got out of it in 1945, and actually Ruth was born in 1945, so he was out of the Army by the time she was born, or just getting out of the Army when she was born. She basically had what seemed to be a normal childhood. Both her parents were hardworking, great providers. Unfortunately, however, they buried her brother at the age of 20. In 1973. So at the time he was serving over in Vietnam. And I didn't find out a whole lot of information, but based on the timeline and everything, I want to say it was probably something that happened over there.
Oh, yeah.
But it's during these years that Ruth Ann met a man named Andrew Madden, who also was a Vietnam War vet.
To be fair, his name should have been, like, a big red flag.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah,
Madden. Oh, Madden?
Yeah, he's mad, obviously. That's just, that's it.
See, I was like, what, we don't like Andrew?
No, we do not like Andrew Madden.
We do not like Andrew Madden.
Right.
Okay, he's mad.
Yes.
Oh, Lord. The couple would go on to marry in 1975. They eventually settled in Eola? E-O-L-I-A.
I don't know. Viola?
Eola. I don't know. But it's next to Lincoln County, which it's actually considered Pike County. So if you look at it in a sense of like Wentzville to Warrenton kind of thing.
Yeah, that's confusing.
No, think about, okay, so, like, you know where Wentzville is, and you know where Warrenton is.
Yes.
So, take Eola, and to Troy. So, you got Lincoln County and Pike County right next to each other.
Oh, so they're, okay.
Yeah,
okay,
so it's a little bit of distance, but it's just like a Wentzville and Warrenton right. kind of thing. excuse me. They had been married 25 years at the time of Ruth Ann's death. So about a decade later, Ruth Ann and her parents would go on to have to bury her sister, Ann, in 1986.
Wait a second. Her name was Ruth Ann and her sister was Ann?
Correct.
What sort of parents names their kid that?
I mean, they liked Ann.
But, like,
I didn't look at the mother's name. Oh, well, the mom's name is Joanna. So they just had an Anne thing going on. It was a thing.
Maybe the family needs to be off, too. Like, off pudding?
Pudding?
Pudding.
Oh.
Yeah, like, distance. Pudding. Distance.
Oh, Lord.
Social distance.
So, over the years, Andrew's health began to deteriorate, and he eventually had to quit his job, and he pretty much became wheelchair-bound. This would continue on into their marriage. It naturally affected him emotionally, mentally. However, married 25 years, Ruth Ann, I mean, she did her best to be there for him, meanwhile caring for him, but she had to continue to work. She had to continue to pay the bills. I'm sure he got, you know, some kind of kickback, whatever, but from the Army and stuff, but they honestly don't get that much. It's not, you know, what people think, especially during that time. Like, it's not 2000, you know, we're talking.
I'm doing a lot of facial expressions that no one can see.
No, she's looking at me like, yeah. You gotta say it. So eventually, the Department of Veteran Affairs approved for a home health care aide to come and assist in the home. So basically, fancy. He was approved for a home health care nurse.
Oh, that's fancy.
Fancy.
In home?
In home, yeah. So Karen Clowers.
I don't like that name either. I don't like Clowers.
Clowers?
No.
Okay.
That's not a good name.
I'm glad all these names are not vibing with you because they're the bad guy.
She should have changed it.
So she entered the Maddens' lives at what seemed to be a time of need. Her job basically was to assist Andrew cooking, cleaning, basically relieving some of the weight off of Ruth's shoulders.
Ruth Ann? What was her name?
Ruth Ann.
I don't like her. I don't.
So she, what seemed to be, she seemed to be a great fit. She was, you know, she was taking care of the family and everything. Karen would, she would make sure that Andrew took his meds, cleaned the house, made dinners for both her, Andrew, and Ruth. they had basically befriended her. Excuse me. Even sometimes basically like staying after her shift to casually socialize with them. But Karen wasn't who she said she was or who she seemed to be. I guess she was who she said she was because her name was Karen. But she wasn't who she seemed to be.
Karen Clowers.
It was kind of a facade. Upon confession, she was later to have said that she confessed to her son-in-law that she had actually fallen in love with Andrew and that she wished there was a way for her to have him all the time.
See,
I feel like
problems.
That, yeah, like that screams red flags right there. Like,
just a little
bit. I'm the nurse, but I think I'm in love with him and I feel like I want him all the time.
Right, but he has a wife.
Right, yeah.
Just saying, but that's just a little
hitch. So, yeah. On the evening of August 9th, 2002... Andrew placed a call to Ruth Ann stating that Karen's car had broke down in the commuter lot off of Highway 61 in Lincoln County. Mm-hmm. So this, unfortunately, would be the call that leads his wife to her death.
Oh, dang. I sort of feel bad for Ann now.
Ruth Ann.
Ruth Ann.
Yeah, right?
I'm sorry.
See? I'm sorry. Take it back now.
Yes, okay. I take it back. All right. Still don't like your name, but I'm sorry.
So once police found Ruth Ann's body, they went to the Madden residence. Ugh. And they found Andrew outside in his wheelchair smoking a cigarette. They proceeded to tell him that his wife was found deceased. Based on the reports and the interviews, it said that he calmly put his cigarette out, dropped his face into his hands, and began crying.
Dang.
So...
shock or something?
Yeah, it seems like when you watch the interviews, it seems like they made it seem he was very just like, put his cigarette out without a care in the world, but then he changed to emotion. So it was like emotionless and then emotion.
I mean, sometimes that's shock.
It could be shock.
Usually it just takes you a second to catch up with the words.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, sort of like when someone asks you a question and then, like, you say what, but you know the answer. You have it. It's right on your tongue. And then you say it before they can even repeat the question.
Yeah.
You know.
So, and I always say that. I always say that, too. When Adam says what, I'm like,
right, like,
okay, you heard the question. You already know. The what means you just need an extra second to process.
I lag. Don't worry. I'm okay.
However, the attention of the police and everything, it caught the attentions of the neighbors, and I'm assuming rumors, questions, and everything at this point has started spreading. but guess what? Someone, and this is Stacy's famous line, and they're not even here. I had this ready, locked and loaded to go. Someone said something. She loves to do that. But she's not even here. So I'm going to steal it. So someone said something. A neighbor called the Lincoln County law enforcement, and they basically said, look, the Chevy Lumina that y'all are looking for, it happens to be a vehicle driven by Karen Clowers.
Dang.
So the car. Yeah, so the car that the police originally put the bolo out for, the neighbor's like, hey, it belongs to this lady.
Dang, they just called. So, I'm just imagining that poor 911 operator. Like, oh, okay. Could you repeat that, please?
Come again? Yeah, so the police now have contacted the original witness that said they saw the car coming out of the parking lot and basically asked them if it was the same car that almost hit them. And they confirmed. So the police have now filed for a search warrant for Karen's house and car. It was granted on August 20th. So what are we, from the 9th to the 20th? How long is that?
I don't know, 11?
No. Is it? You would know more than I would. So, like, 11 days. Yeah. Right?
I don't know. Hold up. We're doing math.
Yeah. 11.
You're yeah, right. I'm oh, right.
See, I should have trusted.
I'm godlike.
I should have trusted the big brain that she has.
Exactly. I have my big brain on. You don't have a big brain.
She does.
I do. But she doesn't.
I don't.
Hair flip.
Insert air flip.
Well, they can't see it. I have to speak it.
Oh, I love it. I knew this was going to be fun. Damn it. Where was I? Oh, 11 days. Got it. So 11 days, they were able to obtain a search warrant. And upon their search, they found, dun, 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 a pack of Durell cigarettes.
Oh.
Same ones found at the scene.
She sounds pretty dumb.
I got my little monocle out.
Oh. She sounds like a very, very dumb murderer.
You know, question? I don't think this was very well. So this of course, has now allowed them to bring Karen in for questioning. However, on the way to the police station, they did what I feel like, or used to feel like in so many movies and detective show, was always like so cliche. But after all the years of like watching and learning and doing all this stuff, the profiling of the murderer is actually very telling. And this was no different for Karen. So the police took her to the scene. And when they stopped at the crime scene, she leaned over and vomited.
That's disgusting.
Well, the detective stated that there's things that your body reacts to that's almost better than a confession. And that really resonated because it's like you don't realize that your nerve, like even though you could be trying to put on a front, your nerves are not going to stop.
That's why you see in all those movies when they like throw the picture down.
Yes.
That's why they do it.
Because they want to see their reactions. Because your body, like you can lie, but like your body isn't. Your eyes will either dilate.
Yeah, I knew about that part. There's like.
You may twitch in some way that to you don't realize, but your body's natural reaction.
And there's like the polygram test. I don't know. Test. Yeah.
Yeah.
I never knew that. That's weird. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. After
I read his statement, I was like, I get it though, because it is true. Like it's sometimes better than a confession. Like you ultimately have to get the facts, but that right there proves you're on the right path.
Right.
Like you're there. You got the right person.
You just need to make sure everyone else sees it's the right person too.
Court legally.
Yeah.
So once they were to the station, Karen admitted to being in love with Andrew. But she stated that she did not kill Ruth Ann. She believed her son-in-law, John Lewis, did.
Oh? Johnny boy.
How'd that bus feel?
Wait. Oh, her son-in-law. Okay, continue.
Yeah, her son-in-law.
I was confused.
So she, you know, she was quick to roll that bus right on over him.
Son-in-law means she was married,
right? Son-in-law means her daughter's husband.
Okay, yeah.
So she states that she shared with him how she was in love with Andrew. She wished there was some way that they could be together. He proceeded to say that he could think of a way to get rid of her. Or basically get her out of the picture. This is all being said in a videotaped interview. This case actually aired on Snap, I want to say fairly recently. So unless you have like Prime, Peacock, or Hulu, I don't think you can find it yet until it's fully released out. But a lot of this information is going to come from there because, you know, detectives. It's what we do.
It's what we do. You're a detective now.
Hey, when I'm doing this, I'm a detective. Even though our disclaimer says I'm not, you know, in my head, I am.
In your head? your big brain head?
In my big brain head.
Oh, all right. Continue.
Yeah, because when my big brain turns off, my little brain doesn't care. just like after this, tacos and margaritas, that's the little brain time.
Oh.
Yeah, there you go. So, all this being said is in a taped interview. She states that John showed up, asked her to use her car around the time of the murder. How convenient.
That is pretty convenient.
I know, right? But she also states that he said, it's taken care of. Okay, I feel like this is so creepy. I feel like her confession is like so cliche.
It
like,
definitely
it wasn't
is,
me.
Yeah.
He said it's over.
That still sort of sounds like hitman or something.
I know,
like,
right? Right. So it's funny you say that because so now, of course, the police arrest John Lewis and begin questioning him. Well, he goes on to state that Karen offered him $5,000 to kill
Ruth. Oh, my God. I'm so smart.
Right.
So I could be a detective.
See what I'm saying? This shit makes you like, all right, let me
I'm
go
smart.
Get my coat and my hat. So like any person though who's been caught higher for murder, he states, oh well, I took the money, but I wasn't ever planning to go through with it. He states he knew that Karen basically wouldn't ever admit that she hired to kill someone, so he just took the money, used it to pay some bills.
Dang.
That's in his police statement.
Dang.
However, the day of the murder, he states that he agreed to meet Karen at the parking lot, in which he states she had a handgun and he had helped her learn to use it. So this is where his statements get a little fishy to me, because it's like, okay, well, you knew that she hired you to kill this woman and now you suddenly agree to help her. Or you agree to meet her at the parking lot.
But, I mean, that's not hitman-like. If she gave him money to kill her, why is she bringing the gun?
That's what I'm saying. Like, this is where it gets fishy. Like, okay, is this exactly how it played out? I don't know. But this
and
is
why
what
are
he...
they? Why is he teaching her how to shoot a gun in a parking lot?
Right. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It just screams fishy to me at this point. So, as far as... I don't know. But anyhoot, he states that Ruth Ann pulled up and then he went and hid behind a truck. But Karen still had the gun in her hand.
Dang.
Yeah, so
that's
he ran and hid.
Ruthless.
But again, I don't know if I personally believe that. But when Ruth Ann approached, she asked if Karen had figured out the problem. And Karen states, yes, it was a belt issue. And she proceeds to pull out the gun and shoot Ruth.
Oh. That's
so basically, yeah.
Nice. Yes.
Lewis goes on to confirm that Andrew willingly knew when he called Ruth he was sending her to her death.
Oh, my Lord.
So her own husband made the phone call for her to go help Karen.
What did the poor
knowing,
girl? She didn't even do nothing.
I know.
And divorce is a thing, people. Use it. Like,
you are using your... I'm so proud of you.
I know, right?
Because you know, in his statement, after all was said and done, now he's feeling remorseful. He literally says, I don't know why. I could have just got a divorce.
Right. Like, so yeah. Dumb. If you're going to murder someone, murder them correctly and make sure you don't get caught. That might need to be edited. Is that good advice to say on a podcast?
We edit that.
We said viewer discretion was advised, right?
I know, right?
Okay, well, that's what it means.
Yeah, we don't edit, but, you know, we can always talk to them. No.
I swear I'm not murdering anyone. I'm not planning to. This is not a show on how to get away with murder.
Ooh, that was a good show. Did you watch that?
No.
That's a good show. You should watch it. We get way off track. I do this all the time. I'm always like, okay, back on track, guys.
Oh, you are the one who says that?
I am. That's why I'm the Green Ranger.
Between the three of you, I can see that. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
She's
the good
hours.
Questioner. She's the good questioner. And Heather's the factual one who's like, get them. So it's a whole fun dynamic. And I'm like, okay, girls. Like, bring it in here. But... What got me here on this whole John thing, Karen thing, was the struggle. He never mentions that there was a struggle. He just makes it seem like Ruth came up, said, oh, is everything okay? And then Karen shot her. But they found hair clenched in her hand.
Oh.
So to me, there had to be some kind of struggle that somebody's not saying. I mean, right?
Did they ever get, like, the DNA of the hair?
But wait, there's more.
Oh, no.
So that was my
was
question.
Was it Andrew?
They killed her?
No, but, like, Was it Andrew's hair? Okay, continue.
Okay. Oh, no, to answer that. Okay, and now I see where you're going with
that.
Okay. No. But now at this point, all three have been arrested. They've all been charged with murder. They've all been charged with the murder of Ruth Ann. Now, mind you, they're all facing first-degree murder charges. And I'm going to go over this just because you're not a familiar podcaster. So they're all being charged with first-degree murder, which means they can all face up to life or death if found guilty. First-degree murder basically qualifies you for the death penalty. Like,
right.
It's on the table immediately.
But all of them, Andrew shouldn't be, like, first-degree. He should be, like,
not. Right. So, but this is where the system gets you. Because now, if they're all being charged with first-degree murder. They're not yet, until they actually go to court, they're not actually charged, you know.
Oh, okay.
So they're in jail.
Right.
But they don't actually have the charge. Like, they haven't been sentenced.
Right, okay.
So they've been charged, but they haven't been sentenced. So that's a good way to say it. Now, if they were to take this to court in front of a jury, in front of everything, and they stay on the track of first-degree murder charges, they immediately can face the death penalty. So, in November of 2003, Andrew took a guilty plea for murder 2 and armed criminal action. So now, taking a guilty plea, he doesn't face first degree. So by taking a guilty plea and the courts accepting it, he now is facing life in prison, but he's not facing the death penalty.
Okay.
So he took guilty plea in murder in the second degree, and that charge gave him life in prison.
Okay.
And then he was charged armed criminal action, which got him 3 years. But because he wasn't, like, the actual one who pulled the trigger or anything, his armed criminal action was, it was a felony, but it wasn't, like, a Class A felony. So he got 3 years versus, like, another life sentence for it.
Gotcha, okay.
Because he was a part of it, but he isn't actually the one who pulled the trigger. So he did get the charge, he just didn't get the highest charge of it.
That makes sense.
So there's, like, felony, Class A, Class B, Class C, that type of stuff. So now when it comes to him, he had filed in 2007 for a reduction of sentence. Basically, he wanted to take it back to court and see if he could get it taken, knocked down. And not have to serve life in prison. He was denied.
Ruthless.
It seems like he was able to. I Googled on the interweb and did a lot of research on this. On the interweb. And he was lawyered up. Mm-hmm. So he got life in prison, but he definitely, it could have been a lot worse for him because based on some of the charges I've seen and the way things played out, if he would have probably had, like, a public defender, it probably would have been a lot worse for him.
Gotcha.
He, however, has some civil cases that he's been involved in while in prison. In 2006, he was allowed to purchase.
Hey.
What?
It was 2006.
In 2006, he was allowed to purchase an electric wheelchair with his own funds. So as long as he bought it, they would let him have it.
Why do you need an electric wheelchair?
Well, because, okay, so.
How old is he?
I'm going to get into that.
Okay.
So when he was transferred to Jeff City, he was allowed to take it with him, and he was still allowed to use the electric wheelchair.
Okay.
Because they wouldn't. Now, here's where the problem comes in, though. They wouldn't allow him to buy a new one, stating that he could fix the old one that he currently had. But, like a lot of things that get older, like cars and, everything, the older they get, the more costly they are to fix because they don't make them parts anymore.
Right.
Or they're harder to find. And, he would be better off buying a new one. However, they denied him to buy a new one. And they told him he basically had to fix the one, he had to keep fixing the one he had, or he'd be appointed a pusher. And in prison, they can either be pushed by another inmate or by a CO. Well, they filed a civil suit through the Americans with Disabilities Act. They filed a lawsuit on the behalf of inmates that settled in 2017, but it basically stated that by not allowing them to not have, like, electrical wheelchairs, they were literally at the mercy of someone else. So
right.
They couldn't go participate in an activity or, you know.
Exactly.
So for the law system of, you know, disabled people, you know, not everybody deserves to not be able to do anything. So, you know, one of them, you take it away for everybody, you take it away for
right.
one person, you take it away from everybody. So they settled this lawsuit to make it to where inmates were allowed to use electric wheelchairs. They were allowed to buy new ones as long as it was funded by themselves. So I thought that was a little fun fact, not just, I mean, that he deserves it, but I just don't think that...
So that was just a random thing that you thought was cool.
Well, I mean, I thought it was cool that they, you know, that they defended the disabled, but it was like at the same time like,
bittersweet.
Yeah, exactly. So moving on to May of 2003, we're going to circle back to Karen. Now, she's also in jail. So now, Andrew took a guilty plea in November of 2003. So we're going to backtrack a little bit here.
Okay.
In May of 2003 and circle back to Karen. There was a motion for a blood sample requested May of 2003. So basically they're now going after, they're trying to build her case.
Gotcha.
She's about to go to court. They need all the proof that they can get. So they're basically going after her DNA at this point.
Right.
But so that being said, they're building a hell of a case against her.
Oh yeah.
So surprise, surprise, after they, you know, ask for DNA, well, guess right. who decides to take a plea deal too? So she again pleads guilty with taking the charge of murder in the second degree and armed criminal action, but these both gave her life sentences. So she got the full sentence for the armed criminal right. versus Andrew did not.
But she wouldn't die. She wouldn't have the death penalty.
She wouldn't have death penalty because murder gotcha. Murder in the second degree will not, they gotcha. Can't, they can't fight for that. So by taking the guilty plea, she skipped trial. She didn't have to, they didn't have to present DNA evidence.
Oh.
She was saying, I'm guilty. I did it. So they kind of skipped all over that. And she took the easy way out because she yeah. knew. She knew. Like, if they get they do this, they do a DNA, and I go in front of a jury, like, my ass is grass.
Right.
Like, I killed this lady, and they know it.
Right.
So she filed for an appeal. She was going to file for an appeal, but in 2005, her public defender filed for a motion of dismissal from the case.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So
what is that?
So her public defender, which is her.
Yeah, I know what that okay. is.
So they filed for a motion of dismissal from the case, basically saying that her appointed counsel be rescinded, like canceled. They didn't oh. want to represent her anymore.
Dang.
Yeah, like basically they're saying, like, we don't want to represent her again. There's been, and they can be granted this, I read, when, like, the person's not being honest with them. Oh. So it could be they were representing her, and maybe she lied and said, oh, that's not my hair, or whatever. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Well, now they have DNA, and they're saying, yes, it is.
Yeah.
And we don't want to represent you anymore because you're not being factual with us about what is going on.
Right.
So they were granted that. It looks like that was granted in 2006. So at this point, she no longer has representation.
Dang.
She's been denied public defenders.
Oh, she can't even have a public defender?
No, they basically said, we don't want it. Like,
dang.
We don't want it. So in 2008, she filed for a pro se motion, which, again, Googled. It actually means that she's requesting to represent herself.
She's so dumb.
Right.
Sorry.
She filed for a pro se motion is what it's properly called. Basically, she filed to represent herself in 2008, as well as she requested her court documents be sent to her for a review. Now, when I was reading all this, that's what made me think, like, okay, well, now she wants to appeal this, but now she can legally have all the stuff sent to her.
Oh, yeah.
So her case record, what evidence they have to use against her, you know, like all the stuff that a lawyer would get access to.
Right.
So now she's going to be able to see, okay, well, what do they actually have me on?
Right.
And I'm like, eh, I don't like
but that. But doesn't, so if she has decided she's appointing herself, doesn't she have to go through with it now that she's, like, seen the document or?
Well, I mean, she has to get approval to represent herself, and then she would have to write up a full appeal. So she would have to write up an appeal and saying, okay, that's why she requests her file. So she gets her file and she sees, okay, the cigarette butt or, okay, you know, the hair, whatever.
Okay.
She's saying, I want to argue this fact that my rights weren't, you know, honored, or I want to argue this fact because that's not what was said, or this fact because the witness lied. So she has to physically write up an appeal, send it to the courts, and then the court has to approve or deny. And if they approve it, then they take it back to court. They'll go over all that, and she'll be resentenced.
Gotcha.
But that, however, did not happen because at the age of 54, Karen would, in 2011, she would die in prison. So 3 years later, she actually ended up passing away. So she never even got to represent herself.
To be fair, I personally don't believe she deserved it, man.
I don't either.
If you're going to be that dumb about killing someone, you really don't deserve
it. Well, and it's not, I mean, it's not even just that dumb. It's like, I mean, you're a murderer.
Right.
Like,
but like,
you're cold-blooded. Like, you murdered this woman.
Right. But so I'm saying, like, you either got to just own up to it and say you did it, or you got to be able to hide it really well.
Right.
And don't get caught, you know? Like,
right.
There's no in-between. You just need to own up to it or just, like,
yeah. Well, and that's the thing is, like, you know, when it's all said and done, what are you, I mean, you have two life sentences, and if anything, I mean, they couldn't retry her for murder, for first degree, because she had already pled guilty, so she could only get lesser. But I wouldn't even if she was crazy enough to do it, I don't see a jury granting her a lesser sentence.
No, especially if they still have the DNA.
Right.
DNA.
I mean,
is,
that's kind of obvious. Like, and not only that, the DNA is in the woman's hands who was murdered. Your car was seen leaving the scene of the crime.
There was bullets. Was there bullets?
The cigarette butt.
Cigarette butt. Yes.
The cigarette butt was found. Like, all signs point to you were there.
Right.
Not just that, but your son-in-law is admitting you did it, and her husband is admitting you did it.
Like,
and he knows you did it.
There's no
so out there's of no this. Getting out of here. Now John Lewis pled guilty to conspiracy to commit murder, and he was sentenced to 15 years. So he did his sentence, and if I'm not mistaken, he would have been released 2019. I want to say
2019. I don't know.
So he would have been released in 2019 after he would have served his 15 years.
Right.
Now, Ruth Ann's parents, Jesse and Joanna, they went on to file a wrongful death suit. And basically they're suing them for her murder. And based on what I could see again or understand with my detective brain, they were granted $500,000 from each person.
Dang.
I know, right? However, it looks like, yet again, Andrew lawyered up. And if I'm reading it correctly, it looks like his wrongful death case got dismissed.
How much was Andrew paid?
That's what I'm saying. Like, this man clearly
had
some money.
Are we sure he wasn't a hitman? Like, are we sure he wasn't an actual hitman?
He had to have had some money.
Oh,
which,
yeah.
I mean, he, you know, he was buying his own wheelchair, you know, electric wheelchair.
Obviously,
and, like, stuff from
Karen didn't have it, so he would have had to get it himself.
Right.
Because Karen would have had good lawyers, too.
Right. Which makes me kind of wonder, like, did Karen see the money on the wall? You know,
right.
like, that's why she fell in love with Andrew, a.k.a., you know, Black Widow kind of stuff. But anywho, so instead of killing the husband, she killed the wife, which opposite direction of a Black Widow. But so it seems like his was dismissed, but Karen and John, they didn't seem to have the representation in the suit, and I don't believe they could be appointed a public defender in a civil case. Criminal cases, you can. Civil cases, you can't. You're responsible for your lawyer.
Yeah.
And obviously, they couldn't pay for one. The family, however, never saw any payments from Karen. And it looks like only one garnishment payment of $7,655 was paid by John. So at some point, whether it was taxes or some type of money that he had coming in, they received one garnishment payment from John. Right.
But, like, so that's all they got, don't they?
That's
like,
it. Wow. But now, Jesse, so now they could still technically have been going after John. Like, John got out of prison in 2019. So technically, they still could have been going after John. But unfortunately, Jesse and Joanna had passed away since that point.
Oh.
Jesse passed away in 2007 at the age of 89.
Dang.
And Joanna passed away in 2014 at the age of 91.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So they both made it very long in life.
Yep.
And, like, again, like I said, doing the research, I didn't go into, like, putting it in the whole detail of the podcast, but they got multiple grandkids, they've buried grandkids, they buried children, they buried,
oh my
you know.
Lord, yeah.
And that's the only thing, like, with this, you know, that age in life, like, gosh, the amount of death
it was
their
time.
Like, you know, they're old enough to see people grow and die. Like,
right.
That's a long time of living. So it's said that Joanna was basically, I mean, the woman was a hard worker her entire life. She pretty much worked up until, like, the age of 90.
Dang.
She was also like a home health care nurse, but she worked like in the hospitals.
How was that home health care? I'm confused.
Well, I guess it wouldn't be. It'd just be health care.
Okay. Detective brain.
Hey, we're at the end. I've already shut it off.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
So guys, that was our case of Miss Ruth Ann. I'm so excited that I got to do this with Kaylin today, and I'm so glad she came and didn't leave me by myself.
I know, right? I'm so nice.
I've been so sad. So sad. No, I'd drug Adam's ass on here. And one time when these girls bail on me again and I can't get Kaylin, I'm going to bring Adam on here, and then that'll be an episode for everyone.
Your choice before him?
No.
Oh, thank you.
I know, his feelers were hurt. So I'm going to have, I put Kaylin in charge of finding our comfy fact today. So, like I said, Heather, she's coming for your job, bitch. So Kaylin's gonna give us our comfy fact.
Yeah.
Let's see what you got.
Okay. So nearly 20% of spousal murders are not the spouse themselves, but another intimate partner, which is pretty crazy, honestly.
20%?
Yeah, nearly 20%.
Nearly 20%. So it's usually like the mistress or the mister.
Right.
That is, that's interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah.
I can see it though. Because, I mean, well, you got like, Snapped. And all them other shows too of where the mistress or, I feel like it's usually the women. Like, I feel like it's usually the women that.
It definitely is, yeah.
Yeah. Whether they kill the husband or the wife, it's usually the women. I think we might be crazy creatures.
I mean, yeah.
I don't know. We're not going to ask anybody if they disagree. guys, I just want a couple things. We launched our merch, so check that out. I'm pretty freaking excited. I got a couple prototypes, and I'm already having to fight Adam off of a couple of them, and I'm like, hey. He's like, let me get that. I'm like, no, I'm going to need some money, bruh. Like,
bruh.
Support the business. Okay. So that's super exciting. You guys can find that on our website, www.murdershowsandcomfyclothes.com. Also find us on Facebook at Murder Shows and Comfy Clothes on Loco. And, so I hope that Stacy and Heather will be back with me what is it, 2 weeks? I always say next week, but it's not in 2 weeks. But if not, you know, I'll drag somebody along with me and we'll rock the shit out like we do. But yeah, so until then, we're going to close out. I'm going to see if Kaylin can do this with me. We're going to close out the way we normally do. Right. So here we go. You ready?
All right. Yeah.
All right. Stay comfy. Don't get murdered. Okay. It's just like, what?
All right. I got it.
I'll take it.
I got it. I was decent.